Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Wait a minute. I got a new theme. It's specifically for this show now. Words. Word house and words. Talking about words. Language and words.
Morning.
Did its grandma die?
Excuse me?
The reason I ask is because it's morning.
I'm not sure I understand.
Would you like to try our famous coffee this morning?
You just poured us coffee.
Yeah, but you haven't tried it yet. Have a sip and let me know if it's good, and if not, I can bring you some tea or some blanket fat.
What's blanket fat?
It's some powdery drink from the old country. It tastes sweet and chickeny, but also green.
The coffee will be fine, I'm sure.
All right. You know, with all those good mornings that went back and forth, I have to tell you this Minnie Pearl joke that I heard one time that Minnie Pearl told. So she's sitting around with her girlfriends, and for some reason they say, hey, tomorrow when we get together is a way of surreptitiously letting each other know how many times we're being kissed. We'll say the word morning? I think it's just morning. We'll say the word morning for every time that we were kissed last night. So then they come back the next day, and the first girl comes in, and she says, good morning this morning. So that's like two times. Then the second one comes in, and she says, good morning this morning, lovely morning this morning. And then the third one comes in, and she says, good morning this morning, lovely morning this morning, this morning, 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 it's this morning, good morning, morning, like that. That crazy. And then Minnie Pearl comes in, and she says, howdy. She says, that's her signature. That's like her catchphrase, howdy.
We would really like to order.
Oh, okay, if you already know what you want. I'm thinking she said howdy because she didn't get kissed, but maybe it has some dirty meaning or something. I don't think so, though, because Minnie was pretty wholesome.
I'm going to have the Western omelet.
You know who wasn't clean? Red Fox. Man, his albums are super adult. I bought one as a kid because I liked Sanford and Son, and I was like, Mama, listen to this. It's Fred Sanford. And man, oh man, I can't even repeat what he said.
The Western omelet.
Oh yeah, I got it.
I'll have the breakfast burrito.
Years later, I bought a Rudy Ray Moore album, but I knew what I was getting into.
Breakfast burrito.
Oh, I got it. Breakfast burrito. Would you like a salad with that?
A salad? Does it come with it?
No.
A salad for breakfast.
A burrito for breakfast? Let's call it a breakfast salad. There's tiny orange slices in it. That's breakfasty.
I'll just stick with the burrito.
Roger, and you?
Is the Belgian waffle good?
The Belgian waffle as a thing is good. Ours is nasty. Around here we say they call it a Belgian waffle because it makes you Flemish. I said, well, that's pretty funny, but I think the word is phlegmy. So basically, if you want a lot of thick, viscous phlegm, get the waffle.
I think I'll pass.
Okay, I'll get your order in.
Wait, I haven't ordered anything.
You said you didn't want the Belgian waffle. Would you like to change that order?
Yes, please. Just bring me the Bam Bam breakfast with my eggs scrambled, white toast, cheese potatoes, and turkey sausage.
Whoa. Where do you see that?
Well, right here, the Bam Bam breakfast.
Ah, the Bam Bam breakfast.
That's what I said.
Well, not so much, but that's cool. I speak confused, customer.
I'm not confused.
Good. I pride myself on making things clear. So let's just review. I've got three breakfasts. I won't go into detail because I want to get your order in, but just confirming, y'all want breakfast.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm just going to take a short break out back, and then I'll get your orders right in.
Hey, Lo. Psst, Lo.
What is it, Butch?
We're out of food. Try steering people to other menu items, like napkins and all.
I'll try. Thank goodness I have people skills. How did we run out of food?
I admit, I thought this restaurant idea was stupid and wouldn't attract any customers, so I didn't order any.
Butchie, you need to have more faith.
Yeah, no, that's not the problem. I just don't factor in dumb luck and other people's stupidity sometimes.
Listen, why don't I stall them while you go to the store and get some groceries?
I guess we could do that.
Think about it. I'm going to grab a quick nap in the van, but just let me know when you decide and we can scoot out to the grocery store and be back in business.
Thanks for being here, everyone, for this roast of our friend Hans. Hans, are you ready to get dragged over the coals?
As ready as I'll ever be.
All right. I hope you're ready, because our first speaker is the acid-tongued Butchie Spinoza.
Thanks, everyone. Well, it's time to roast old Hans here. I'll say a few words about him, I guess, which will delight him no end because of his unquenchable need for attention and approval to feed his outsized ego and narcissism, which are probably the result of some self-loathing brought on by the withheld affections of his father, an emotionally cruel and horrid man who made Hans feel like a failure and a fool, but for whom Hans, in a pathetic and sad fashion, continues to try and impress to receive affection from this horrid man now long dead. Imagine being driven by a desire that can never be fulfilled, to dream of a level of success that is impossible, and even then would leave you in a lonely, cold, and loveless place where you remained unwanted and unloved. Okay, maybe I went a little far. I'll dial it back. Hans never returns anything he borrows. You practically gotta beg for your stuff back. Oh, come on.
Action. Breath. Grief, kangaroo, perception, creed, numbers, harp, lesson, morose, wallet, coupon, march, repent, supercilious, career, craft, yesterday, jar, what, year, pop, manage, create, devolve, fish, type, release, had, for, van, bottom, car, scene,
under, quest, sad, zoo, lamb, proper, disgust, accept, warp, loser, crayon, mean, back. How is it even possible to communicate with other human beings? I don't believe it is possible, but I'm going to try anyway because I am a hopeful sort. All those words that you just heard, in no particular order, had they been combined in a specific order, they might have been able to cause great harm or do great good. And that's the way words are. Oh my goodness, they can do great things, or they can do horrible things. And we are swimming in words, language, everywhere. Oh my goodness. I open my mouth every week and I'm fearful of what will come out. I don't know what I'm going to say or what effect it's going to have. I'm just putting these things out there into the universe. Words are like bees. If they come out and they're productive, they will make honey. If they come out and they're angry and fearful, they will sting. And I have released countless bees into the world with my ramblings, with my speaking, with my abuse of language, and here I am doing it again, throwing out all these words into the universe, casting spells, because that is what language is. It's a sort of magic. You can make things happen. If I can get my emotions and my thoughts into your head, then we can work together and network and create a sort of human computer and machine and make great things happen. I can change your mood. I could make you happy or sad. I can adjust the horizontal. I can adjust the vertical, because these are the outer limits of communication, my friend. It was once said by someone, I think it was either Oscar Wilde or Oscar Meyer, said, "It is better to keep your mouth shut and to be thought a genius than to open your mouth and then everyone knows you're a genius and then they try to exploit you because everybody wants to cut you up and make a buck off of you. No one cares about your well-being when it comes to that, when it comes to genius."
So I say it is best to open your mouth and be thought a fool. Let everybody know you're a fool. Then you have nothing that can be stolen. Oh, the knurled tree does not invite the axe. Don Quixote knew that his magic helmet would not be susceptible to thievery because it appeared to be an ordinary shaving thing. We don't have those anymore, do we? Like, oh, yeah, boy, I need like a shaving bucket. A shaving pan or something I can put out under my face when I shave. No, I have a sink now. Oh, my goodness. You told that to Don Quixote. Don Quixote, they've got this thing called a sink. Oh, I know what sink is. Sink means to slowly descend into the water, into the ground or something. No, no, no. That's not what it means at all anymore. Things change. The meanings change. Language changes. Language is interesting. The French word for language is langue. Langue. I think I'm saying it right. And that is also the word for tongue. Tongue. And we say that too. Say, oh, yay, the mother tongue. Which is that a George Clinton thing? Oh, that's, no, that, I'm sorry, that's something else. The mother tongue, tongues, we speak in tongues. Well, we don't speak in tongues, but tongues are language, langue, langue. Also in French, glass is both ice cream and mirror. So the English beat song over there is called Ice Cream in the Bathroom, which is, isn't that fun? Who hasn't done that? Who hasn't taken ice cream? So I'm just going to take some ice cream into the tub, and then it melts. It's so sad. Where is my ice cream? I didn't realize that the heat affected it like that. I put out these words, and I don't know what's going to happen. Were you ever counseling someone, and you're speaking to them, and you're thinking, my words are changing their heart. My words are healing. I'll just put some more words out there. Oh, my friend, you are loved. You are fine. You are all right in the world. In spite of the fact that your hair, that horrible hair that you can't do anything with.
Uh-oh.
Just, what did I go, 8 words over or something? 8 words a little too far? I wish I could take back those words. It's funny when people, I had an uncle say, oh, Uncle Billy is a man of few words, they used to say in my family. And I thought, oh, he just doesn't like to speak a lot. And then I realized that he had only learned a few words. That by the time he was a young man, he only knew about 5 words. And then he said to himself one day, you see, it was very difficult even to have an internal dialogue, only knowing those 5 words. But they turned out to be enough, and Uncle Billy got by. I'll tell you what, language. I moved to a foreign country one time. And I won't tell you what foreign country it is, because it's France, and I don't want France to be embarrassed by my presence in it. And I live there, I do not speak the language. How did you find yourself living there? It's a long story. And so that'd be perfect for radio. No, I'm not interested in telling it. I was living there, let's just say it's magically appeared there. I did not speak the language. So all of a sudden, I had a different relationship to words and things. I was starting to look at people. And the best thing about not being understand the language is that people could not convey to me that they were idiots or bigots. I would pass them in the street or nod or something. And even people I kind of knew, I did not have the sophistication to understand all the words that they were saying. You know, it's, oh, table, yes, you're gesturing to the table, I understand that. But if they were about to go on about their beliefs or something, I wouldn't understand. Isn't that interesting? So you just take for granted the fact that a lot of things you believe are because of communication. Do you trust the language? Do you trust the words? Oh, we throw them out there now. Words are powerful. They're like magic. And we throw them out there now. Spells, glucosa, barufabosa. You know, just like in Harry Potter. Throwing out fake Latin. Right? Just throwing out the fake Latin all the time, and you could levitate people or make them into a bug or something like that, and no one seems to care. I'm going to cast it out there. Oh my gosh, words are like children. You're making them and you're sending them out in the world, and how many children do you have? You don't know. They could turn against you. They might turn against you. Those children might come to resent you because you have let them go away. You don't remember them. You know, before the internet, our words would fade away.
I could say something stupid to a friend, and my friend would be the only person who heard that, and there would be no evidence that I had said something foolish, because, you know, now I'm older, and boy, I tell you, 30 years ago, I believed differently than I do now, and some things I believe are wrong. They were wrong, or even morally wrong, or hurtful, or horrible. Now, I can't imagine if those were written down, if they were permanent, if they were somehow retrievable, and able to be thrown in my face and someone says, look at what you said 20 years ago. Say, I've changed. Yes, but look, you said this. You were once horrible. Yes, but I've changed. Those words endure.
Just, excuse me. You know, one day I'm going to go to the doctor and he's going to say, you know, you're fine. And all I would say, recommend is do not go endure like that. Because one, you're going to get stuck talking like Lucy. And then, and then you're not going to like that. It's going to be, for a few minutes, it's going to be sexy. Everybody loves my new voice. But then it's going to be, say, oh, no, it's not the hearty. I know. I say, okay, doc, I'll listen to you. I know. I know what to do. I know to listen to you because you haven't met. Stop. What? I feel like you're going to run on with some words and some bad ones are just going to slip out because you're just letting everything flow out of that mouth. And really, the words need to go into a little antechamber first. They need to go into a decompression chamber. See, your thoughts are like the bottom of the ocean. The deepest, dismal depths of the ocean. And those thoughts rise up from that primal source. And they begin to come up. And then they get closer to the surface. Now, if you just let them pop up to the surface like that, they're going to get the bends. I almost called them the cramps. But the bends and the cramps are the same things. Don't tell that to the cramps. They'll sue the bends for the band name. But they're the same thing. So they're going to get the bends. It could be fatal. So what you need to do is put them in a diaper doll, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what you call it, but a decompression chamber. All right? And sit them there for a while and say, just sit down and chill for a minute before you hit the surface. Because, you know, there's a lot of crazy things there on the bottom of the ocean. And we want to make sure when it gets up to the top that we haven't brought some sea monster. Oh, the sea monsters that we have created and brought up from the depths of our consciousness that we let freely flow from our fingers in the form of typing, that we freely let flow from our mouths in the form of language and words. And, you know, sometimes the spoken words are even worse because I can do things to, I can type the word cat, just cat. But when I say a word, cat, I can introduce other meanings or nuances to it through the musicality of language. How complex and how able to move to action. I'll tell you, it affects them not only in their sort of rational part of their brain, but people become emotionally involved in some speech, don't they? They get excited, they get happy, they get worked up, or they can be worked up into anger. You can use words to get people motivated to do the most cruel, horrible, sadistic things that they wouldn't normally do through this beautiful thing, language, the way that I can give you my thoughts and my emotions. How about that? What are you going to do with them? I got to make sure they're not nasty, you know? I've told this story many, many times because of how profoundly it affected me. But my alcoholic great Aunt Betty, who was sweet, but she was a slurring drunk. And she was a slurring, the kind of alcoholic, not just somebody has a couple drinks, but in my family, I come from a family that has chronic, hardcore alcoholism. And by that, I mean multiple bottles of liquor a day. All right. So, you know, hiding bottles of gin under the bed and chugging them, that kind of. And in my family, those people that did that were unbelievably sweet, loving folks. And my Aunt Betty was like that. And one Halloween, I went to her house and we would visit, and she sent me home with a little bag of candy. And I was so happy. I got in the car and I was about to eat the candy. And my mother looked at it and said, it's crawling with ants. You know, a lot of people
who were incapacitated like that. She didn't know those ants in it. She couldn't see it. See, because when my Aunt Betty looked at it, everything was crawling. So she just got used to the squirmy nature of things. And, oh, I had to throw the candy out the car window like that. Because she didn't see the ants in the candy. Can you imagine? Even somebody well-meaning. She loved me, but she still gave me ants in the candy. All the words that we give one another. Sometimes they could be poison. Have you checked them? Well, I can't go around not saying anything. I got to react. When somebody types something online, Hardy, you almost forgot my name, didn't you? No, when somebody types something online, Hardy, I got to react to it. I got to come right back. Do you even know what you're thinking, man? To spurt out all those words. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I think about it all the time. I find it very difficult to listen to things that I have said on the radio. Because I hear those words and I think, oh, my gosh. First of all, I'm saying too many of them. Second of all, what are people going to do with them? I hope that they treat my words the way that I treat art. Sometimes I will get a piece of art or a print or somebody will give me something and I won't particularly like it. Maybe it's not my taste or maybe it's not well done or maybe it's ruined. Maybe the piece of art has been damaged or something. So what I will do is I will cut it up and I will make it into a collage. I will make it into a new piece of art. I will recycle it. Oh, do that with words. If I give you words and you don't like the order they're in, take them, cut them up, put them in another order. I have friends that do that all the time. That's what we should do with language. Cut it up, put it in a different order, make sure it doesn't have poison in it. Oh, I think of the language that I read every day, people trying to get me to do things. When you look at the news, this is just a suggestion from your friend Hardy, every time you read, especially the news or something, see it as a magic spell. See, that's a magic spell. Those words want to create some effect. They want to do something. They even want to turn Harry Potter into a demonic clown or a spider or something. Or maybe they want to manifest cheese and peanut butter crackers out of nothing, which would be one. That was a wonderful spell. I'd like to work on that one. And cheese and cracker osis. You just have to put some vowels. S's and stuff that sounds Latin. They're all spells. They're all spells and we're all wizards. I think what it is that there has been a conspiracy to keep you from realizing your power. You are a wizard. You are powerful. You have been given the ability to make spells, to say things, to manifest things into reality with your mind, using language. How about that? Have you been told that? Or were you told that you're useless and powerless, and that your words can't have any effect? Oh, your words can. Why do you think we censor people? Why do you think we control what people hear and what people say, if it wasn't the most powerful thing in the world? I'd say, and I'm not the first to say, the pen is mightier than the sword. Well, you can make fun of that all you want. But people knew that a long time ago. That language has this inconceivable power. Inconceivable. A sword can only do so many things. But our language, oh my. You know, some religious traditions do a thing called speak in tongues, and I'm not going to go into that. I won't go into that at all, but it's not, I don't believe, it's exclusively an evangelical Christian thing. I think there's other traditions that have ecstatic states in which people go into the ecstatic states and they are feel the overwhelming urge to speak, but not in a language of their own. To just feel some sort of primal thing come through and to form things that sound like words that may be a language. Speaking in some ancient tongue. Some people believe they're speaking in some ancient tongue. I'm not going to say what I believe, or it doesn't matter. Actually, it does not matter what I think at all. But I would just like to say that concept interests me greatly. Because now you're hearing something that is absolutely full of emotion, but you're not exactly what's
know what's being said. And I love that we're hearing other languages, poetry in other languages, songs in other languages that I don't understand. I seem to almost like it better because it's not going to, you know, it's not going to get in there and make me do something crazy, right? There was a song a long time ago called Go Eat Paint. This is go eat paint, you should eat some paint, go eat paint now, paint is good to eat, eat that paint. And you know, a lot of people say, oh, no one's going to fall for that, right? We're all rational human beings. Go eat some paint, paint is good to eat, paint is really food. And everybody thought, oh, no one's stupid enough to fall for that. Artists don't have any responsibility because they put something out that absurd. Who the heck is going to do that? Who's going to do that? Well, lots of people did start to eat paint. And uh-oh, well, that's their choice. That had nothing to do. There's no connection with me saying go eat paint and you eating paint, I don't think. Is there? If we acknowledge that, we would have to acknowledge the incredible power of words. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I don't want you to not use them. I don't want them to be rationed. I just want you to understand how powerful they are. I'm playing with fire here. I speak for an hour on the radio to lots of people. Well, lots to me. You say, well, not that many. Well, we can debate that all day long. What's lots? But I think it's lots of people to me. Right now, I'm sitting alone. So if I was speaking to five people, that'd be lots of people to me. And still, those are human lives. And they're all, every single one of them, precious. And one person is, to me, as important as thousands when I'm with them. So when I say these things to you, oh, the things that I could possibly say by mistake. The things that could come out of my mouth that I intend to be helpful, that could be destructive. I think about that all the time. Am I saying foolish and wrong things? I mean, I've said things like, oh, if your dog eats poison, give him a tablespoon of peroxide. Now, I did that to my dog, and everything was fine, and it vomited up the gum, the poison gum. But it turned out the gum wasn't poison, which is good. That's all good. It all worked out. The dogs don't mind vomiting. They live to vomit. I'm just going to eat this. That's what my dog does. I'm gonna eat this and see. So it sounds like Lou. I know my dog. My dog sounds weirdly like Lou. I'll go, what? What, Lou? And go, no, it's the dog. But when I said that, I realized I just was like, give people veterinary medical advice on the radio. What am I doing? What if that's not true? Or what if there's some sort of caveat that I'm missing? Like, unless it's, you know, that only works on beagles, maybe. And here I am, I could cause harm and tragedy. Well, now, Hardy, if you walked around like that all day, you wouldn't say anything. If you were so self-conscious and you thought everything you was going to say, you'd become so scrupulous that you'd become neurotic about your own speech. What if I say something wrong? And some people are that way. That's why they're quiet. That's why a lot of shy people are shy, because they realize this. They say, oh, what if I say something stupid? But a lot of times they're more concerned the way they will appear. Don't worry about how you appear. Don't worry about being thought a fool. That's a good thing. You want that. Don't be thought a genius. You don't want that burden. Don't be thought bright or brilliant. Everybody's going to stare at you when you come in the room. Everybody's going to want to take you down or something. Just walk in the room and everybody go, oh, that idiot. And then you'll see that life becomes incredibly free and liberating. Because then everybody is not staring at you. And then when you do something stupid, no one's all looking at you. Right? They're not going to judge you anymore because they've already judged you. They've prejudged you. Well, that's prejudice. I want people to think the wrong things about me, just not others, for my own protection and because I don't want to do any harm. First, do harm. Then realize you've done harm. Then become determined to fix the harm you've done, then forgive yourself for that. Because you realize if you're in the process of making it right, you don't have to punish yourself. There's no point. Forgive yourself. If you're on the road to making something right that you've done wrong, You don't have to carry the guilt around anymore. You're doing something about it. That's what punishment is. Punishment is supposed to free us from guilt, right? So I punish you now, you don't have to punish yourself. You've been externally punished. But a lot of people do things and they think, maybe I should be punished. And they start punishing themselves. Oh, and they use words against themselves. Can you imagine that? Aiming those words right at yourself. Calling yourself names. You fool. And they stick on you. It's like putting tattoos on you. I'm foolish. I'm stupid. I'm worthless. I'm ugly. I'm fat. I'm skinny. All those things. Oh, we put them right on ourselves. Wound ourselves with those very words. Turn those spells on ourselves. We'll take our Harry Potter wand and we'll poke our eye with it. Why would you poke your eye with your wand? Harry, stop doing that. I can't help myself. I must be under a spell to poke eye poke spellus. Yes, it was probably a little toe-headed kid. He seems mean. I wouldn't want to be an actor. Because if I was an actor, I might do some sort of part convincingly, and then everybody might think that that's really who I am or how I feel. And what I've done really is only be good at my craft. And yet, now you think I'm a monster. It's like those actors that appear on shows that recreate crimes. So here's the man you want. Uh-oh, no, that's my buddy Ted. He's an actor. After that, he did a TV ad for a pill that makes you more virile or something. But there he's just acting. He's not really a criminal. He's just playing one. How is this about language? Well, you know, language can take you on rides that you don't know where you're going. It's like a hot air balloon. Can it really be steered? Can a hot air balloon be steered very accurately? Yes, I don't know if it can. I think some can. I don't know if it can or not. I think you're thinking of a blimp or a dirigible, but one of those hot air balloons that looks like just a modern version of the Montgolfier Brothers ones, like a child balloon with a little basket strapped to the bottom. Aren't they more or less at the mercy of the winds? Those hot air balloons? Oh, blow around there. Where have my words gone? Did everybody come up to you one time and tell you, like, oh, remember, you said the funniest thing one time. And I'll go, what? Awesome. What did I say? And they'll say, you said something about salad. And I'll go, oh, I don't remember saying that. Yeah, you said that. All right. And you liked it? Yes. Fantastic. Now, how many times has that happened with bad things, I wonder? I remember when you said this. Oh, I honestly do not remember saying that. I am so sorry. Oh, you said it. Honestly, I don't remember saying it. I apologize. I don't know why I said that. I don't believe that. Now, I got to tell you, here's something scary. I've been on the radio for years, and I've spoken for hours. I mean, days on end when you put together hundreds of hours. Like, it's like speaking, maybe I've spoken for a month straight or something. I don't even know. I haven't really added it up, you know. But can you imagine all the nonsense, all the garbage, all the poison I've potentially put out there now? This is coming from somebody who wanted to do good, who was trying to take responsibility for what they said, who was thinking about what they said, who was trying to choose the right thing, who was letting their words percolate in a... I'm going to mix some metaphors right now. Percolate in a decompression chamber. That's the best. Now you're going to say, that's the kind of coffee I want. Next time I go to the, I'm going to go to the barrister and I'm going to say, is there, I understand there's a type of coffee that is made in a decompression chamber. Is this correct? And they go, oh yes, you want, that's the hyperbaric Ethiopian. Yes, I'd like, can I get some of that? That'd be wonderful. You want it cold brewed? I don't know what that means. So I don't know. No, I just want hot coffee, man. I'm not trying to put you down. I just don't know. Can I get percolated? I wish you could go to these chain coffee stores and one of the options was, I want percolated. We only have this. But, I really have this hankering for my grandmother's coffee. I think it's probably Maxwell House or something done in a percolator. And then you get it and it's not perfectly clear. It's kind of almost muddy. It's not great. And it has a particular grainy quality to it, but I'm craving it. So is there a percolated option? Who knows? I don't know. I don't know. We're now a drip. We all want a drip. We all want to drip through filters. We all want to filter it all out, and that's fine. I understand that. But you got to live with the ground sometimes. Got to understand that the grounds are in there, too. You're never going to get something that's ground-free. Do you ever have somebody pour you a glass of wine, and they'll say, now there's some sediment in here. That's not a bad thing. Sediment in wine is not a bad thing. Don't make everything so sterile. Now, I feel like you're giving me two different messages here, Hardy, because you're saying on one hand to watch what you say and to sort of filter things, and then you're also saying don't use a filter. Good catch. And that's a perfect example of what's wrong with language. I obviously believe both things. I obviously have both of those thoughts in my head. And that's very obvious because I don't stop rambling for an hour. I'm not really rambling because I feel like what I'm saying is cogent. And I feel like rambling is endless tangents that don't ever resolve, you know. And I feel like, hey, did you see that movie about horses? No, maybe that is me. I don't know. Maybe I am rambling. But I shamelessly do it and have done it for hours. And if I'm so worried about causing harm, then why do I keep doing it? Why don't I just shut up? Because I believe two things at once. One, words have power. Words are important. Two, it's important to get them out there, too. I don't know how to balance that exactly. I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is be sort of thoughtful, maybe. Not overly scrupulous and not careless. Is that all right? Strike a happy medium. Write a little balance right there. Think about what you say. Think about the effect it might have. And maybe that means being a little more manipulative, you know? So I just want to say what I feel. When I have emotions, a lot of people want that. Say, I have emotions. I'm just getting it all out there. I like the catharsis. I'm gonna I'll edit that out so I sound smart. I like the catharsis of it. I'm just going to vomit. Blah. I'm going to spray everybody with my vomit. Get it out there because it makes me feel better. You know people like that, right? So I'm just going to get it. I'm going to say, the hurt. And maybe they feel unburdened, but now I'm covered with puke. And that happens a lot. So, now you feel better. Yeah, because you got all that rancid soup out of your belly. But now it's upon me. And I am covered with it. Now what? Couldn't you have found a better way? Yes, you need to get that out there. Do you need to get it onto people? I don't know. I can't abide cruelty. I can't abide it. I have heard it come out of my mouth, and I have seen its effects. And I could sit here right now and weep for the regret that I have of things that I have said to people. Because I felt fearful or angry or hurt. And I was convinced that by hurting back, that I could balance the universe, that I could get justice. But what happened is, then you just got a bunch of wounded. Now we're all wounded. Now we're all casting spells. Now we're all waving our wands at one another instead of doing it together. Oh, language, what are you speaking, Hardy? Now you have heard me. The reason I brought up speaking in tongues earlier is because you have heard me do it. And you say, are you doing it in some religious context? Hardy, are you mocking? No, absolutely not. Is it your faith tradition? No, not necessarily. Then what are you doing? I don't know. I just am compelled to make noise. Sometimes I have no actual words for the emotions that I have. I love talk. I'm a Santa Pascal. Suck. That's all that comes out sometimes. Maybe it's my limited vocabulary. Maybe that's it. But I tend to think is that the heart is so full and that there are not words that match every human emotion or thought. There is not a corresponding word for everything. Do you understand? I think we have. It's like Uncle Billy. Is it Uncle Billy? Because I made him up. Because I don't remember his name. Uncle Billy's five words. I don't have an Uncle Billy, do I? I'm trying to think. No. I don't have very few uncles left. They're all dying. Oh, my uncles are dying. I need some fake uncles. Can I just call you uncle? Uncle and aunt? That wouldn't be a bad relationship. My grandmother came from kind of a large, what I call Irish-esque family. And her aunt was her same age. They were the same age. Her mother's sister and her were, they were in different generations, but the same age. That happens. That happens all the time. Well, what are you talking about? My Grammy? Yeah. And my Aunt Alice? Right, but what are you getting at? I think I was talking about uncles. And? I don't know. And I started thinking about my Aunt Alice. Oh, Aunt Alice, I haven't seen you in years. You are my great aunt, and you are dead. And though you are long gone, there's memories that you star in. Well, you don't really do much except be sweet and kind. You're wearing one of those old lady dresses. Oh, you got those flabby old lady arms. Oh, you're so beautiful to me. So beautiful. So diabetic. My Aunt Alice would scare me with her spells. I'd be sitting in my great-grandmother's kitchen and Aunt Alice would start to fade away like that and they'd say, oh, it's time for Aunt Alice to get an insulin shot or something. I'd say, what's wrong with her? She's the sweetest person I knew. And then to see her incapacitated would crush my little boy heart. But she doesn't represent frailty or brokenness or anything in my mythology, in my head, of my life. She represents a network of kindness and support where people loved one another and took care of one another and really didn't look for differences so much. You know, I look back at those families and I say, wow, everybody's different, but nobody was looking for conflict. And you might say, oh, that's really trite and small. All they would talk about is like, what we're cooking for dinner, what we're going to do next. Is that a new rug? How do you get that rug clean? That kind of stuff. Did new neighbors move in? New neighbors did move in. And you can say all that small town, silly talk and everything like that. But it's beautiful talk. It's talk that isn't looking for a fight. It's talk that's not looking for a fight. These aren't angry bees. These are bees that are making honey. Or just hanging out. There's something in between making honey and stinging, isn't there, bee? Yes. What is it? Just hanging out. What are you hanging out? Just hanging out, buzz around. That's right. Hanging out, buzz around. Hang around, buzz around. Oh, I hope my language is comforting to you. I hope my words are comforting to you. I know that the human voice can combat loneliness. That's why I do this. Because it gives me a sense of power. And I feel powerless in this world. Like a nothing. Like I'm going to die. I am going to die. Everybody's going to die. I tell you, the older you get, you think, boy, I have so little control over everything. I thought I had more than this. This is crazy. And oh, I tell you, I inured my heart to the suffering of others. And as you get older and you suffer yourself, you look at others and you say, I had no idea how much suffering there was. I had no idea other people's burdens were so great. And now I do, and I am nearly overwhelmed. I have to collect myself for a minute and say, hey, don't be overwhelmed. There's work to do. Well, what do I have? I don't have anything. I don't have any resources. Hardy, I don't have any power. I don't have anything. What are you speaking to me with? What? What do you mean? You're speaking to me now, and I'm feeling what you were saying. Yeah? Your emotions are going into my head, and I'm feeling them, and I'm feeling almost kind of teary. Really? Yeah. You know what that is? You've projected your thoughts and emotions into my head, and I'm feeling them, even though maybe I don't want to. You're going to tell me that's not power? Your words have power. You have something. You are armed. You can speak up now when you speak up. We got to learn. We got to go. Come on to me with Kung Fu Word School. Because that same, that word can, you know, that could be a block or a strike. You know, you got to be careful because these words, you know, you're trying to repair things. Make sure they're repair words. I know you're frightened. I know you're scared. But when you throw out a ninja star, let's say it does, you hit your mark. That person has really made me angry. That person is, I think, even evil. I'm throwing out the ninja star of words, and can you get him right in the forehead, right in the, down he goes. Got him. But what you don't see is after he's down, some nefarious type walks by and picks up that ninja star. You don't get it back. You understand? It's out there in the world right now. Now you're not controlling that ninja star. Who knows what someone's going to do with that ninja star? Oh, you lose your gun. Someone else has your gun. If you lose your knife, someone else has your knife. If you lose your mind, I'm not sure what happens next. Have you ever lost your... I felt like I've lost my mind. I have felt like I've lost my mind many times in life. I tell you, the worst being grief. Oh, if you've experienced grief, you think I have lost my mind. No, I tell you, no. You haven't lost it as much as it's on fire. It's on fire. Your brain can electrocute you. Your brain can set you ablaze. Your brain can cool you off. Your brain can create all sorts of things. Everyone's brain can. Now, most people, even though they have access to it, can't control it. Imagine when control from outside comes into that brain. All the things it can cause. Oh, my goodness, I never want to hurt you. I don't know who you are. It's best to not know who you are. Because if I was confronted with the specificity of your potential, I don't want to say evil, but if you were really horrible, it would be hard for me to not be scared, to not be fearful, or to not want to attack you. And I understand that. It makes sense. That just makes moral sense, doesn't it? Sometimes it makes ethical sense. And yet, I know practically maybe this isn't the way to get what I really ultimately want, is it? I would like to be a little less obvious and more manipulative than that. And so, it is wonderful to not know who you are. Because then I can speak to you in the abstract. I can speak to you in the hypothetical. I can say, I love you and mean it. Because I am picturing all humans, not any specific one. And you aren't any real specific one. I'm telling you right now, you are deserving of love. Change your ways if you're bad, if you're causing harm. Change your ways. You can. But I can't escape my words. They will be thrown up to me constantly. Well, I'll tell you what. There are those of us who know this truth, who know the truth of the chain of our past speech, who knows the shackles of the things that we have said in the past and how we drag those chains with this kind. I understand that. And so I will not attempt to rebind you with those. I will not attempt to take those chains and bolt them to a wall. I will even help you. Say, I don't want to be dragging this anymore. I am different. Do you believe in repentance or not? Do you believe in forgiveness? I have to, because I need it. I need it all the time. I need it on a regular basis. I need you to forgive me for anything stupid I've said. I need you to forgive me for anything if I bored you. You tuned into this, wanted to be entertained, maybe amused. Maybe I haven't done that. That's my responsibility. I'd love to put it on you. Well, you don't have to listen. I'm taking up airwaves. Other people could be speaking here. This is radio. This is a powerful thing. I am putting out words to lots and lots of people. I have a responsibility. It is not a small thing. And I try to take it seriously. And I don't think, I think that we, you know, hey, we're both responsible. Not really. You're just listening. You just tuned in to be entertained. Maybe you tuned in thinking, I thought this was like the ska show. No, is there one? Maybe it's a Jamaican, part of Jamaican music. Yeah, I was just wondering, is there specifically a ska, like a early Jamaican music show, like Clarendonians and all that kind of stuff. That'd be great. By the way, I believe they're still performing. The Clarendonians? I think so. I looked it up because I've always wanted to see them for about the last 25 years or something. And then I found out, oh my word, because they were young when they were... What are you talking about? The Clarendonians! What is wrong with you? Oh my God, I'm not mad at you. Forgive me, I'm not mad. I love the expression forgive and forget. You know? The forgetting part, you don't have to actively try. Forgetting occurs naturally. Forgetting is just like, what do you think when things decay? It's decay. Forgetting is like your teeth rotting. Oh, that's, I'm glad you said that because I forgot to brush my teeth. Go brush your teeth right now. Do it right now. Get that fresh breath. Go ahead. Get it all minty. Get it minty. Get it in there. Scrub those teeth. They're gonna be. If your skull is gonna be collected by somebody in the future, you're gonna be embarrassed if your teeth are all nasty. Your skull bone is gonna be all nice and white, and your teeth gonna be all nasty and brown because you're drinking that coffee, drinking that tea, smoking those cigarettes, chewing those beetle leaves. The berries or the leaves of the beetle? I think it can't be the leaves because I get it at the Vietnamese restaurant. It has to be the berries that stain your teeth and make them black. Beetle. Beetle with a T. What? What are you talking about? Nothing. Why? Well, I just feel like you always seem like you're going somewhere and I'm not sure we get there. Look. There's two types of buses, and you got to be sure you get on the right one. One type of bus takes you to destinations, right? Say, I want to get on this bus, takes me to the mall. The other type of bus is a tour bus. And basically, you get on that one, you go around, you ride, you look at things, but then you end up right where you started. So there's two types of buses to get on. And you got on the tour bus. I'm sorry. I thought you knew that. One of the hints is this double-decker. That's one of the hints, because a lot of the city buses that take you to your destination, often you don't ride on the top unless it's another country where there's like the bus is full and you're allowed to get up there and just, that's horrible. Don't do that here. Very scary, very dangerous. But yeah, you're on the tour bus. I hope that's okay. Conceivably, we could let you out somewhere if you wanted. And I feel that way with the show. About halfway through, you're as far as you're going to be from where we started. But if you wait to the end, you're going to be right back where you started. So for some of you, I would recommend that you start shutting my show off halfway through. You can shut it on again when Kevin comes on, but go ahead and just listen to half of it. Maybe that's what you're looking for. I hope not. I love having you on the tour. I love it. I was thinking of offering some kind of punch, you know? A lot of times on the tour, my uncle said, you know, when you get people and get tourists on a boat, the greatest thing is get them drunk. And you say, why? I don't know. We've just been doing it for so many years. It just seems right. I think it's because the boat trip is actually a little boring. And the liquor is like, it's water, there's some trees. People get a little more enthusiastic about the things that they normally would take for granted. And so, in a large bucket, my uncle would make a beautiful swizzle. For the tourists. What's a swizzle? Oh, swizzle cocktail. Now, I'm not much of a drinker, but I'll tell you a swizzle. And here, should I tell you how to make a swizzle? I can't tell you exactly the
proportion of the ingredients because I watched it done for years, and I don't know the proportions. But here's, if you want to make a big punch for your friends and you're taking them out on a boat and you want them to get drunk, it's take a goodly amount of orange juice, mostly orange juice. Okay, mostly orange juice. Then you want to add some ginger ale to the orange juice. And then what you want to add is grenadine, a little bit of grenadine, so the whole thing is pink. You want a pink drink. Then you want to add a little bit of bitters. Not many, just a little bit of bitters. Then you want to add a Jamaican sweetener called Falernum. Falernum. It gives a kind of you might be able to make your own. I'm pretty sure you can find it. And then rum. Lots of rum. Very strong rum. White rum. Lots of white rum. And even maybe a little 151 if you want people to just to go crazy, start screaming and vomiting. I think that's all the ingredients. And then you serve that in little cups, you know, with ice and everything. And oh, it's delicious. And everybody starts feeling like they're on vacation. Say, I'm glad that I took this tour bus boat with you, Hardy. I felt like that's what vacations are. Nobody stays on vacations. You go on vacation to become refreshed. You don't want to listen to my show constantly. My show should be like a trip. Let's go to Blue Ridge and take the Scenic Railroad. Someone who lives in Georgia is going, I've been on that. I know, right? Yes. Isn't it called Blue Ridge? Enjoy that scenic train you take. It's North Georgia. I think it goes up to Tennessee. It's like Copper. I don't know. I'll find out for you and tell you about it. All these little vacation ideas I have. But then you come back. You see, you take a little respite. And then you come back. Nothing is permanent. Oh, nothing is permanent. Oh, nothing is permanent. Nothing is permanent. Thank God nothing is permanent. And oh, dear God, nothing is permanent. Grief, not permanent. Joy, not permanent. Oh, what's permanent mean? It's a word. You could go home and examine it. Go home and write some poetry. Go home and put some words together. Go home and experiment with them. Talk to yourself. Practice talking. Practice talking to yourself and your dogs. Who are? Who he is? I am. Who's Brady? Who's Brady? Who's Brady? Brady? I am so Mr. Fluffy. I got my nose. I got a nose. I got a little nose. That's the way I speak to my dog. Is fine with me. The more I do that, she just gets so excited. She goes, I don't know what you're saying, but I love the way you're saying it. And that's what I want to do for you. I won't get on this radio like I'm talking to my dog. Yes, you are. You know you are, and you are loved. You are my love. You are something. And that's what I'm saying to you. Yes, you are. You're something. You're all right. You are all right. My gosh, you're not the king of the universe. Nobody is. But you're what a miracle, wonderful miracle. Are you struggling? Is it painful? That's normal. I'm sorry. Maybe I could help you. Maybe I could help you by just being with you. Maybe I could shoot out some salve. Shoot out salve out of my mouth in the form of words of encouragement. I'm here with you. I recognize your suffering. I understand. I understand. I might not feel everything you're feeling right now. Maybe I can't. Maybe you're going through something that is inconceivable, but I'll acknowledge the pain that you were in, and I'll be here for you. I won't leave you. We all need help. We all need help, and it's more important, and we are more important than all this other nonsense. I will stop what I'm doing and help that person. Why not? What are my stupid tasks more important than an individual who is sad or in need or who is suffering? We're almost to the end, and I need to I should have had like a vomit or a duty joke for the end. I didn't think of it. Oh, here's one. So words are like poo. No, they're not. I don't know. Maybe they are. Who knows? If you examine them hundreds of thousands of years later, the poo, you can see what went into that word, whether it be berries or something, mastodon meat. I don't know what I'm talking about. I do and I don't. I say that as a way of not taking responsibility for my words.
to be honest. I don't know what I'm talking about. It don't make sense. That's just my way of saying, oh, Lord, please do not hold me to these words. Please, I'm begging you. I'm begging you not to take me seriously. I'm begging you not to say, well, Hardy said, I'm begging you to understand that I'm a fool and this is entertainment. I'm not saying anything. Please, please, please. I just want you to think about stuff for entertainment, not because I wanted to go anywhere, just to give you some peace. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition, WFMU, East Orange, WMFU, Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, where miracles continue to happen. I'll say it again, something brilliant's going to happen very, very, very soon. I've been saying that for 5, 6, 7, 6 years now. And online, WFMU.org. Thank you for listening, my friends. I am so grateful for you, and I'll see you again next week.